Cheers to a great day and this ice-cold Corona.
You know what would make this day even better? My grandma's carne asada.
Throw in some music.
We can watch the game. Or we could keep it simple.
Corona, la vida más fina. Get your Corona at ordercorona.com. Relax responsibly. Corona Extra Beer, imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Spectrum Business works with small businesses nationwide, so we know that running your own business means doing it all. Marketing, sales, inventory, customer service, and more. Spectrum One for Business helps you keep it all connected for just $49.99 a month. Get fast, reliable internet, advanced Wi-Fi with security shield, and a free mobile line for one low price. Stay connected and do it all with Spectrum One for Business. Only $49.99 a month. Go to spectrum.com/business to learn more. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Welcome back to Believe in Softball. I'm your host, Jenna Becerra, and we have some incredibly exciting news. This is officially the 100th episode of the show. It's crazy. So since we started this podcast about 2.5 years ago, it has been a very wild ride in all the best ways possible. We're going to talk about some of those highlights in just a bit, but just a huge thank you to the listeners and viewers for tuning in and supporting. It has been an absolute joy to have you on this ride with us. And we're not done yet. So some quick reminders for the show. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Believe in Softball. That's B-L-E-A-V. Believe in Softball is also on YouTube, so subscribe there too because the video is worth it. Okay, let's go through today's batting order. First, we'll cover our bases, give you some news and callouts from around the softball world. Then we'll head into today's interview with Dot Richardson, one of the most decorated softball players ever, turned coach. And just for the young ones or for those who are new to our sport, to paint a picture of who she is, here's an example. Here's a trail. Montana Fouts, her idol is Jenny Finch. Jenny Finch was inspired by people like Lisa Fernandez, who we know as the GOAT. Well, Lisa Fernandez looked up to people like Dot Richardson. So this is the GOAT's role model that we're talking about. And it is just an honor to have her for this milestone episode for the show. Then we'll end things with the foul tip of the week, which are tips to help us keep going and get better. All right, let's go. Covering our bases. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports, contests, and events with first-to-market odds and lines. Find reviews and news for every league, including Major League Baseball, the NFL, NBA, NHL, combat sports, esports, and even golf. BetOnline continues to be the top online resource for all your sports information from live in-game betting, props, and futures. Head to BetOnline today or use your mobile device to join today and make your first sports bet. Use our promo code BELIEVE50, that's 50, to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, where the game starts. And for us, it started a while back and it got us all the way to 100 episodes. So just for some background, I mean, some of you have been here from the beginning, but this show started back in February 2020 at the beginning of the college season that year, basically before the apocalypse hit. And I like to tell people, hey, I started a podcast and I used Zoom before COVID hit. And, you know, it became what everyone and their mother was doing. But after the college season was canceled, there was hardly any actual softball played that year. But the softball community was still there. And the community that we built with Believe in Softball became super special. And then season two, last year we continued. We had more amazing guests, more amazing listeners, and more features like YouTube video and having an Instagram and Twitter for Believe in Softball. And now here we are in season three, and we are releasing our 100th episode of the show. And it feels like it's only gotten better and better. But I will say, full honesty, producing a podcast is a lot of hard work. It's a lot. And I have a ton of people to thank. So I'll try to keep this short and sweet. But I have to say first, thank you to Believe Network for doing just that, for believing in me and in the sport that we love, for this to be the softball show on a network with hundreds and hundreds of shows. So thank you. Pretty Easy Podcast. Alan and Melissa have been my right-hand people every single week editing each show for the last two seasons, burning the midnight oil, even working while overseas to get these episodes to you every week. Highly recommend them for any podcasting needs and editing needs that you have as well. And then there's the guests themselves. You know, I always have a ton of respect for multiple reasons, but it takes vulnerability, and I think it takes a certain toughness to come on a public forum and share your stories, your thoughts, your insights. And it's just a privilege to do that with so many wonderful women and men and make new friends. Truly, I feel like I have. And just to give you the breakdown, this is pretty crazy when I was looking at it, but we have had in our 100 episodes, 75 different guests. And this includes more than 40 All-Americans, 30 plus national champions, over 20 Olympians, about 30 national team members from six different countries, by the way, nearly 40 professional players and over 30 coaches. And that's at all levels, from the Olympics and pro to college and even travel ball. Plus the media and journalists, business leaders, sports performance specialists. It goes on and on. So thank you. And then there's my friends and family. I have to say, both of my parents who have been guests on the show, but also kind of compete each week to see who tuned into the episode first. There's the rest of my extended family and friends, including those who've been on the show. Just thanks for tuning in, engaging, supporting. And, you know, I call them the board of directors for Believe in Softball. You are much appreciated. And then last, but certainly not least, you, the listeners, the viewers, the subscribers, the followers. There just aren't enough words to thank you for your support and engagement with our little show. I would talk about softball as much as I could to as many people as I could regardless, but you have made this a real community and I'm endlessly grateful for that. So 100 down and however many more we want to go for Believe in Softball. And for Athletes Unlimited, though, it is about halfway through the season. So we just completed week three, and there are a couple of things that stood out to me. I would say defense. Obviously, the offense is super exciting. It's how you score points. Some of these women have been absolutely raking right now, too. But there were so many defensive moments, I felt, that were just pretty to watch. I saw, truly, maybe one of the best defensive innings I think I've ever seen. And it was led by the infield. Now, I'm a little biased as a former infielder, but it was just so fun to watch. First, it's this hard shot to Amanda Chister at first base. I kind of love when first basemen get to show their athleticism and that they can be a hot corner too, not just third base, you know, and that was awesome. Very quick play, great reactions. Anissa Ertez from the knees in the 5-6 hole throws a runner out over at first base. Abby Ramirez then dives up the middle also from the knees and gets the runner out at first base. So just seeing that kind of infield and just defensive prowess in general, to me, I was like, this just warms my defensive heart. This is the stuff that I love. And in the same game, we saw Lily Piper just climb the ladder to catch a line drive over her head at third base. That same day, Haley McClenney makes a forward diving catch in center field. She scrapes up her forearms. But then what I loved, honestly, is she comes in the dugout, looks like a little kid, you know, like she's getting dirty, she's getting scraped up, but she has this huge smile on her face the way that we used to when we were young girls playing. So that was just fun to see. And then Hannah Flippin makes one of the best double plays I think I've ever seen. Just coming across from shortstop, cutting in front of second base, snags a grounder, tags the runner on the other side of second base, gets the throw off, and just the ground that she covered on that play was beautiful. And then you even have pitchers like Sarah Groenewagen diving to tag a runner, literally coming out of the circle to make that play. So it just felt like across the board, defense was incredibly fun to watch. And I would say there's also the relationship piece of Athletes Unlimited, which I think personally is a differentiator for it as a professional league. I think about the fact that Jen Salling, who's, you know, friend of the show, Canadian Olympic bronze medalist, she's a facilitator this season. And she obviously has those UW ties, right, with Sis Bates, Victoria Hayward, Courtney Gaino, and she got to have all of them on her team. I think not only was it cool because of them and especially Sis being able to play with an alum as a facilitator, and Sis getting to do that as she's growing her pro career. She's early in it. But the fact that Jen also gets to have that connection too as she grows her coaching career, I think was really cool. She's also on the Team Canada staff. She was just named to the UCF staff recently as well. So this is clearly an area she wants to grow. And I think one of my favorite things about AU is just how they develop their people. And it's not just the players, which is really cool. And I think they do a good job also of celebrating what they're doing beyond the Athletes Unlimited field as well. There's been a lot of other coaching announcements, actually, from professional players joining different staffs recently. But one to call out is that Odyssey Alexander is the assistant coach at Howard University now. And it's been fun to watch her, obviously, in AU, fun to watch her when she was with JMU in college. Knowing that head coach Tori Tyson, you know her as a friend of the show, she's one of only four guests that we've had on more than once on this show. She's clearly doing something special out there. And I just think about the fact that these two will be working together, and it's just everything. And then on top of that, just a fun little tidbit, the reigning season two champion, Alicia Ocasio, throwing out the first pitch at a White Sox game in Chicago, just, you know, not too far away from where they're playing in Rosemont. So that's just the fun stuff we like to see. But we are back at it for week four with Deja Molipola, Haley McClenney, Savannah Jaquish, and Amanda Chester all back at it in the captain's chair. The top 10 around them is really interesting too. A mix of veterans like Victoria Hayward, Hannah Flippin, Danielle O'Toole, Sam Fisher, and some young bucks too, like Bubba Nichols and Carrie Eberle. So I like to see that. And if we know one thing, it's that things can change very quickly. And we can witness it on the ESPN family of networks. So keep tuning in. I know I will. Because like I say, you know, visibility creates opportunity. And actually, something else we've been seeing on ESPN is the Little League Softball World Series. It's been on our TV screens. I want to say congrats to the Southwest region for winning it all earlier this week. The Midway Little League out of Hewitt, Texas, got it done. And I just think about how cool this was for everybody. The exposure that these girls got. I mean, it was on ESPN, like we said. Some of the same broadcasters who are covering the Women's College World Series, like Michelle Smith and Amanda Scarborough, we're calling the games. That is incredible. It's incredible experience as well as exposure for these young ladies. And I think we definitely have some work to do to get more resources to other levels of softball. But to see this investment in young girls is encouraging. And someone who has her own stories from playing as a young girl to the highest levels of the sport is today's guest. So let's head into the interview. She is a two-time Olympic gold medalist, four-time All-American and member of the first ever NCAA championship team at UCLA, multi-time Hall of Famer, one of the most decorated softball players ever, and current head coach of Liberty Softball, the original number one, Dr. Dot Richardson. Coach, thank you for joining.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much for having me. This is crazy. The 100th episode, it's awesome to be a part of it.
It was pretty short list of people that it would have felt right to have them for this episode. And you were right there at the top. So I'm so glad that you said yes. Thank you for being here.
Oh, absolutely. Wouldn't want to miss it.
And I have to tell you also on a personal note, I actually have a softball signed by you when I was a kid. And just so everybody knows, in case anyone's wondering how long that you have had an impact on this game, the softball is white. It's a white ball. So that is how long that you have had an impact on this game.
You're bringing back memories, aren't you?
Right? And it's funny, I was talking to my dad just beforehand, prepping for our conversation. And I remembered that he actually went to one of your clinics that you held in, I think it was in Simi Valley or somewhere in Ventura County. And that's where he got that ball. And I remember him bringing it home for me. And I still have it to this day.
Awesome. I tell you, softball has been very good to me. And that's yes. Why I love the name of your show, Believe in Softball. You know, just believe in the gifts that God's given you. And, you know, for me, definitely in sports, and softball has taken me a long way.
Yeah, that to say the least, I would say. But yes, I've seen you talk about even on social media, just belief and how important that is in yourself, in your teammates, just in, I don't know, your own abilities to, if you do it the right way, meaning working hard and trusting each other and all that stuff, that good things will happen. And it's nice because when someone like you says that, you're like, wow, I've seen that actually happen and work. So there's faith that you can give to other people.
Well, the biggest faith and belief is a trust that God has given you these gifts, right? And I always tell the most important decision anyone will make in their life is whether they believe God exists or not. Mm. And I challenge everyone, take, you know, look for the evidence, because it's in science even too, it'll bring you to the truth. You know, God is real. And I think for me, I knew as a young girl that he had given me a gift in athletics. And I knew it, even though, you know, you talk about how things will work out. It really, there are struggles in life. When I was a young girl, girls were not supposed to be athletic.
Yeah.
You know, and that's so hard for people to hear now, go, what? What are you talking about? I was not allowed to play any organized sports because I'm a girl. Society made it perfectly clear. Nope, too bad, you're good at sports. But I want to make it clear, the boys didn't have a problem with me, you know, because they picked me first for pickup games right after school. But society had said, you know, too bad. And I would go to the Lord in prayer at night and just asked him, you know, why did you give me so much talent with no opportunity? And I think I'm not the only one, you know, who said that in their life. You know, why aren't things easier for me? You know, why is it not just, you know, flowing so simple? Why does it always have to be a struggle? Yeah. And for me, I just continued to believe in the gifts because I felt so alive doing it. I mean, I crack up, but it's true. When I mention, I see a ball even today, I got to pick it up, I got to throw it, I got to bounce it, I got to kick it, I got to hit it. I just feel alive doing it. And one day softball discovered me, and it was about 30 minutes after I would have had the chance to play Little League Baseball, but I would have had to disguise myself as a boy to do so. And I said, sir, thank you, but no thank you. If I have to hide who I am, I don't feel it's right. So I share that with you because from the very beginning, I appreciated opportunity. Mm. And that's what you mentioned. It's like, are we prepared for the opportunities that present themselves and realize that it might not happen tomorrow? And right, for me, I mean, as a 10-year-old girl to, you know, be discovered in the sport of softball with a team that the average age was 22, for my parents to say, yes, I could play, I was ecstatic. You know, it wasn't baseball, but it was very close being softball. So to see where the sport had taken me and where I am even today, as I look out on a gorgeous stadium at Liberty University to be the head coach here, and just, I know that you're not going to reach that top level unless you do trust the gifts that God has given you.
You just pretty much hit on it all, just the full circle that has happened in your life. And I did read that story about how you could have played baseball, but yeah, you would have had to have not been yourself. And I have to say, I almost feel like you were ahead of your time in a way of just being very focused on authenticity. Because I think that's something that people talk about more and more, especially today, like, oh, you always want to be yourself. Don't feel like you ever have to pretend to be anyone else. But that was a lot harder back then, you know, and you were very willing to make that clear boundary for yourself, which was really cool.
Well, I tell you, as much as I wanted it, you know, you have to believe that your time will come, right? You're going to have a chance to express those gifts. I always challenge all the young girls out there when I'm talking to them in camps and clinics. And it's funny that your dad, you know, was a part of a camp that I had done. It's really about, you know, that you have to really recognize what makes you feel alive, right? What do you do that you know is a gift? It's just like sometimes when I play the game, I've made plays and I'm like, did I really just do that? You know, I mean, I act cool about it, but I'm like, check it out. I mean, it was like amazing, right? Like, wow. And we can feel that way, you know, whether you being on a podcast and interviewing or someone who's great at singing or writing or solving problems, whatever it might be, each of us have been given a gift. And sometimes, you know, more than one gift, and they're meant to be shared. And that's why I opened up with that story. Because as much as society said, well, too bad, you know, you're good at sports, you can't play. And then all of a sudden comes a moment where time is ready that here, you have a sport, fast pitch softball, that is ready for you and for other girls, right, and women. And as a result of it, oh my gosh, we can go on in my career. I wouldn't change a thing. It's like kind of like a front runner in regards to seeing the evolution of women in sport in my career.
Yep.
And I don't know how much you want me to go on, but I can tell you, as I reflect back, I mean, from the first white cleats ever to be worn in our sport, the last wooden bat ever to be used in national competition, the first scholarships to be given out. You mentioned the first NCAA championship ever offered to women in sport. There we were, UCLA versus Fresno State for the championship. The first Pan American Games ever. I was 17 years of age making that starting team. The first helmets ever to be worn in our sport. Are you kidding me? I mean, I got the extra small and I put it on the crown of my back of my head because I thought how silly it was. I remember the first pants, uniforms with pants. Mm-hmm. I had Puma. I mean, sorry, it was Pony. Do you even remember the company, Pony?
I do, vaguely, but yes.
Oh yes. My gosh, it was like, and they were yellow. It was at UCLA and we always wore shorts. And I'm like, I'm not going to wear those pants and I don't want to wear a helmet because boys do. Right? Baseball does. And we got to be different, right? It's just so, I mean, the first, you know, Olympics. Yes. There's so many first sponsorships. I mean, behind me, it's funny, I'm looking at that. That's the first poster ever of a fast pitch softball player. First, you know, bat contracts. I mean, first, there's so many first. And, it's so, you guys, this is so funny. I got to tell you, Jenna, it was like when we were at the NCAA championship, ESPN was there. Mm-hmm. And I'm not exaggerating. If you ever look at the clips, the dugouts, it was in Omaha, Nebraska, mm-hmm. not Oklahoma City, right?
Right.
And the dugouts had open roof to the top of them, right? It was just open. It was just the silver chain link fence.
Right.
So ESPN comes in and they put plywood up on the top of the home dugout, and they brought the folding table and chairs up to the top, and that's where the commentators were. And I promise you, there had to be maybe two cameras.
Yeah.
So when we look at, and I want to call it an unbelievable presentation, and that right now with the College World Series, I would go even farther. It's a spectacle.
Oh yeah.
An amazing spectacle. That shows where the beginning in 1982, the NCAA World Series, to where coverage is and where we're at, even as far back as this last year, you look at 2022 and where the future holds. It's exciting to see the evolution of our sport of softball. And I can go on with women in sport, and because I played in high school volleyball, basketball, softball, track and field, and tennis. Loved them all. And it's just, you know, I just... You know what I just thought of, Jenna? It's like, I remember Billie Jean King being challenged by Bobby Riggs.
Yep.
For the Battle of the Sexes, they called it, in a tennis match. And I'm watching TV, black and white, and I'm watching, just praying to the Lord, please let Billie win.
Yeah.
So I can play. And the acceptance of girls and women in sports would be embraced by society.
Wow.
It's crazy. Crazy.
I mean, I have goosebumps, which I'm not surprised that you're giving me goosebumps. I assumed just based on your story that, you know, there would only be incredible insight that you would give. But I think you hit on a really important thing, which is the fact that you've been able to be on the forefront of all of this. All those firsts that you mentioned, that is incredible. First home run at the Olympics, right? And it was like the game, gold medal game winning home run. And you could just keep adding to that list all day long. And I have to tell you, I feel like the fact that your number was one, number one, being first in so many of these things, is very poetic.
Yeah, it is. And it's funny too. The first team I ever played on when I was 10 was the Union Park Jets, and their color was red, white, and blue.
Wow.
And, you know, I look back at those firsts that you talk about, but I had an advantage. And the advantage is I have been your leadoff batter for the United States for a long time. So I'm sure my teammates would have wished they had, you know, that first at bat. But the reality is, I guess they did have a shot. You know, it was more of my third at bat, you know, that I had home run.
True.
The first one ever. But at UCLA, it was when I was 17 for the USA team, the only reason I got number one is because I was the smallest on the team. And that they always made the numbers based on your size.
Yes, yes.
Then at UCLA, it was hysterical because, you know, my favorite number, not too many people know this, is 22.
Oh.
I love 22, right? And never got it because seniors always had it. But at UCLA, that's when Sharon Backus, the head coach at the time, gave me the jersey, you know, number one. And I always wore it with pride because the first number I always look at is USA number one, UCLA number one. And, you know, it is pretty poetic when I look back at it. And even with the Braquettes, I had number three, and then Allison Ryu, one of the most amazing individuals and athletes, my teammate, she gave her number up, which was number one to give to me.
Wow.
For the Braquettes, you know, after that first year. So it's pretty crazy.
That's amazing. I also will never forget that. And that was always important to me because my number was one growing up all through college. And it was exactly the same reason that you said I was the smallest on the team. That's why, like in rec ball, when I was really, really young, they gave me the number one jersey because I just happened to be young with the age cutoff. That's just how it worked out. So I was smaller, but it stuck with me forever. And I also played shortstop growing up. So for me, right? Yes. So seeing you, I'm like, she's number one. She plays shortstop. I'm from Southern California. Like I was telling you before we hopped on, I'm like, so she's at UCLA doing all these things. Like I was able to see it the way that you were saying you really wanted Billie Jean King to win.
Mm-hmm.
I'm lucky that I had the opportunities to play, right? No one was telling me you can't play. I had a rec ball league to play in and all those things. But to see people like you doing what you were doing, I was like, oh, that means I can do even more than I thought. So the same way it seems that Billie Jean King inspired something in you, you've done the same with myself and I know other generations after me. So that, I think, is you have all these firsts, but that is, I think, a really important part of your legacy as well.
Well, thank you for that. And I just really feel so blessed to have had those opportunities. And the thing is that I don't want anyone to take the moments for granted. Because they can be ripped from us in a second.
Yeah.
You know, you've always heard, you know, we're one generation from, you know, losing our freedom potentially, you know, when you look at a nation. But I think one of the highlights of my life in hearing kind of the beginning of my story is at the 96 Olympics when we won the gold medal. I'll never forget, you know, my life, I take these snapshots in my brain, right?
So yeah.
You can relive those moments. And one of them was after we had won the gold medal, you had all of these security guards that came out onto the field. And this was in Columbus, Georgia. It was the 96 Olympics in Atlanta.
Yep.
But we played in Columbus. And all these security guards are out there and they're just making sure fans don't jump onto the field, right? Mm-hmm. To celebrate the moment with us. And I'll never forget, I looked up and there was a boy and a girl standing right next to each other, reaching out onto the field, like bending over the railing to try and reach onto the field to enjoy the moment, you know, that happened with us capturing the first ever Olympic gold medal. And the snapshot was, here's a boy and a girl side by side. And it wasn't about gender.
Right.
Right. It was about athletic accomplishment.
Yeah.
And that's what the 96 Olympics to me was. It was like, they look back now and say it was the Title IX Olympics, right? Because so many women's sports for the United States won gold medals.
Yeah.
But that was a moment. It was huge. The opening ceremony was the same thing. It was like you just felt that everyone was appreciating and recognizing gifts, right? Athletic gifts that were given to athletes. And for that one moment, it was all about, it didn't matter. You know, about gender.
Yeah.
And when I was a young girl, it did.
Yeah.
It did matter.
Well, having been born before Title IX, having that experience as a youth player, trying to play, and then you got to play eventually, but then seeing what has happened since with Title IX, what does that mean to you?
A lot of it is inspiring. It's inspiring because of all those before who have paved the way, right? And I mean, the true pioneers were before me, and I was blessed to get a glimpse of them.
Yeah.
Right? I was a bat girl watching the legends in our sport. Joan Joyce, Irene Shea, Sharon Backus, Willie Rose, Snooki Mulder, Stephanie Tenney. You know, I can go on with these like legends, Kathy Stillwell, Kathy Staley, Mickey Davis. Oh my gosh. I don't want to leave anyone out because there's so many amazing superstars, you know. And it was, you know, what they went through. I mean, like, they played because of the passion
yeah.
for the game and their gifts, right? You know, that's what was, that was like so inspiring. Like, no matter what names you were called or stereotype you were given, it didn't matter, because what all of it was about was getting the opportunity to compete.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Margie Wright's story, you can look at all of these like legends in the game, right? And that's what you have to hold on to. And as I'm coaching now, or every camp or clinic, that's what it's about. It's like, recognize the gifts God's given you and the opportunities before you, and be prepared to seize them, because they easily could be taken away. Right. You might never even have them, right? Mm-hmm. And we can't forget the past. We don't want to live in it, but we want to grow from it, right? And improve it. And that's what the 96 Olympics was. And every Olympian that was standing on that podium, all 15 of us, will tell you the same thing. We recognize we were making history that would open the door for opportunity for others that would come after us. And that is something that you can't really prepare for. I'm getting goosebumps, right? You dream about it. I was 7 years old when I saw the Olympics on TV for the first time. And that night I had a dream that I was an Olympian standing on a podium and bent over an Olympic gold medal was put on my neck. 27 years later, when that Olympic gold medal was put on my neck for the first time, I knew I was living that dream. But it wasn't about me. Right? I looked around my teammates. It was about daring to dream big.
Right.
When everyone else would say it could never happen. Imagine, I was 7. I couldn't even play, you know, baseball. I couldn't play any sports. But yet to have that dream. And that's what I hope that this episode does, is inspire people to realize, dream big. You know, even when doors might be slammed, you know, in your face, or people are telling you, no, you can never do anything. You can't accomplish it. I'm here to inspire you to say you can accomplish it if you're willing to work hard for it. If you can even imagine it and dream about it, it can happen.
Yeah. It seems to me you're an example of the dreaming big part is a requirement to be first in anything significant. Like, the way that you've had all these firsts, you can't do that unless you do have some of that belief that you're talking about. And I always like to say, you know, ultimately, we want there to be no more firsts, because that means we've broken that barrier, whatever that barrier is, right? And then now it's just more and more opportunity, to your point. But you hit on a few things where it's believing in the gifts you have, it's recognizing opportunity and then seizing it, because there are different parts to that. Mm-hmm. Like you said, it's not just one big magical thing. There are things that you have to do. In terms of the recognizing an opportunity, like, I think back to actually the 2000 Olympics, when you guys had lost a few games, right? And then you had to come back. Yeah, three. Exactly. Came back, what was it, 5 straight that you ended up winning, and then you defend and get the gold medal.
Yeah.
In those types of moments when, yeah, okay, we've lost, you know, there's still an opportunity in that though, right? You had an opportunity for greatness in a way to make that comeback and then you did it. How can we recognize opportunity even when it's hard?
Well, opportunity is in front of us daily, right? I mean, it's in the simple things. It's the little things. How you inspire yourself to be more attentive, right? More purposeful. To realize what you say will impact another, but the other is, what are your actions, right? They speak louder than words. Like, it's almost as though greatness comes from a servant heart. Mm. When you care so much about others to the point where you are willing to listen more, right? To be able to realize it's not about what you might win or achieve, whether it's salary or a big house or a car or a medal or All-American selection, but instead it's about how can you use your gifts to help others be inspired to recognize their gifts and play at a level or be a part of a business, a team, right? No matter what that is, to perform higher and better than they ever thought possible because someone believed in them, right? Someone believed in them. And for me, I know that God believes in me. He loves me no matter what. It's not about pleasing mankind, right? It's about how can I please him?
Yeah.
I also, there's a moment I have to share with you. I haven't shared this very much, but I asked my mom, and when I was younger, I said, Mom, how come I can't play Little League Baseball? Like, how come I can't play? And instead of saying, well, because you're a girl, girls can't play, she said something that impacted me for the rest of my life. She said, because when you strike out all the boys, the parents are not going to be able to handle it. So think about that statement.
It's a good mom.
Right? That's inspirational. And that's saying, I believe in you.
Yeah.
Right? And I always was like, you're never a loser, right? If you're learning. Mm-hmm. And that's when I think a gift or something I've always tried, you know, to instill in myself, like in practice or a game. How can I be better? How can I move faster? How can I visualize, see the ball better? How can I not be distracted? How can I mentally make sure that these distractive thoughts are now zoomed in, right?
Yeah.
Zoomed into what I need to do. And that takes practice, but it takes an awareness that I am drifting, right? It takes an awareness. I'm not all in yet. And when I think about how you say things or what you do, it's going to impact someone in positive or negative ways. And the ultimate coach to me, and I've had some great ones, is they gave me freedom, right? They gave me freedom to express my gifts. Mm. And that's what I think ultimate coaching is.
Yeah.
The day that I know I've made it as a coach is when I'm able to look out onto the field and just watch, right? Like, I don't look and I see a player stressed out because they have so much doubt or fear, yeah, or they're playing it safe, right? You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
We've all been there, right? Yep. Like, I always say, when a runner's on third base and you're up to bat with one out, what are you thinking? I got to get her in. No. What are you thinking? Hunt your pitch and see the ball off your bat.
Yeah.
Right? When I was younger, I'll never forget, I'm 13 years old, became the youngest girl ever to play women's major ball, right, with the Orlando Rebels. And Margie Wright was very young, too. You know, she ended up telling me when she was really 12 and said she was older. So she might be the youngest. But at 13 years of age, I'm playing. And the first game, right, I was, let's say, 0-for-4. And the second game of the doubleheader, I was 4-for-4.
Yeah.
Well, what's the lesson? Am I really ready? right, for the first game.
Right.
And then there'd be times I'd be up to bat, nobody on base. Man, I'm ripping the ball.
Right.
Then all of a sudden, runners are in scoring position. I can't hit my way out of a paper bag. Like, so my thought is, what's the difference?
Right.
Are you guys asking yourself, like, what's the difference? Why did I perform so well this point and not this one? Right. Well, the reason was because I put more pressure on myself when runners on base, because I was like, I have to. No, you don't. I have to hit as though nobody's on base.
Right.
Do you see what I mean? Like,
yep.
This sport has so many life lessons, and we have to learn those lessons. And are we having people, whether it's parents or coaches or teammates, that are pointing those lessons out to you, or are you yourself mature enough to recognize what God is teaching you to learn in those lessons? Hmm. You know, check it out in the gold medal game. Well, first of all, the 96 Olympics, you mentioned I hit the home run in the gold medal game.
Yep.
But does anyone realize that 3 days earlier against China, I struck out with bases loaded, with a full count. When the pitcher threw a pitch I didn't even think would come, a changeup.
Yeah.
And I struck out on national TV.
Right.
Now, one, striking out is a part of the game. But you guys, it was how I struck out. I think I spun around three times. Right? It was embarrassing. Right? It was a beautiful pitch.
Yeah.
And as I'm going back to the dugout, what am I thinking? I'm thinking, she beat me this time. But I've got to go to school. I'm going to be ready next time. In the gold medal game, with two balls and no strikes, what pitch would you never think a pitcher would throw? But I had failed three days earlier.
Right, right.
I went to school, baby. And I thought to myself, okay, I bet she's going to throw a changeup. So I'm going to wait on the change. If it's thrown hard, I'm going to let it go. But if it's a changeup, I'm going to rip the cover off that ball. And I don't care if it's fair or foul, right? I'm going to rip that ball. She never, ever throws it again. And Jenna, she threw a changeup. And I waited and I waited. And man, when I rotated through that ball, and I swear I saw it off my bat, again, I didn't care if it was fair or foul, right? Because I never wanted to throw it again. It was an amazing pitch.
Yeah.
But when I saw it had the distance and I saw it was fair, what was the life lesson, people? What was it? We're going to fail, but we're not failures if we learn from it.
Right.
Right? Because we're going to get another opportunity. There's going to be another at bat, right? There's going to be another job. There's going to be another friendship, right? There's going to be, you know, there's going to be another. So let's be better. Let's improve ourselves. Let's be the best that we can be. And I think that's what greatness is, right? The pursuit of greatness is great. I tell all of my, I don't know if you know the Enneagram, but type one Enneagram personality,
okay,
strive right for perfection. Yep. I said, you've got to redefine perfection.
Yes.
The pursuit of perfection is perfect.
Right. Yeah. Wow. Yes.
Right. How many people pursue greatness or perfection? That pursuit, right? And once in your mind, you start redefining success. I know success is not being one run ahead of another team.
Right.
Success is giving your best in the situations you've been given, because you can't give anything else, right? That's success. It might not be your best ever, but it's the best you can give.
Yeah.
That is success, right?
Yeah.
Another life lesson.
Yes.
Another life lesson.
I know you said your goal for this episode was to hope that it's inspiring. And I have to tell you, I think you're nailing it so far.
Oh, God, yeah. Well, one thing I learned about motivation is no one can motivate you unless you allow them in, which shows you have the power.
Right.
You know, you have the power to change.
Yeah.
And I know as you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit was in you, which gives you the power, right? Your power. Like, a lot of people don't recognize that they're holding themselves back, right? And I've learned that. I'll give you this example in high school. I told you all the sports I played.
Yes.
But these are some of the things I remember, even said from people that I thought were friends of mine. Dot, you are way too short to play basketball in college. It's not going to happen. I'm 5'4½". That's when you know you're short, you say half, right?
Yeah.
But I always say, listen, I've had 6'3" teammates. I can't do what she can do, but she can't do what I can do.
True.
Right? We're all different for a reason.
Yeah.
The other is I heard, there's no way you're going to go from Florida to California for college. It's not going to happen. Dot, there is no way that you're going to be a doctor because no one in your family is a doctor. Forget about it. And even laughing at me, they said, you really think you're going to play for the United States of America? Right. How many negative things do we hear every single day from others? And you know what's crazy? Is we listen to them. Not only listen to it, we start believing it.
And we start saying them to ourselves. Yeah.
And what do we say to ourselves? Even without other people, negative things.
Yeah.
I can't do this. Right? I'm not good enough. I'm telling you, you're worthy. Right? You're worthy. I did go to UCLA, as you mentioned. While I was there, I also played basketball, believe it or not, for 1 year. When Jackie Joyner Kersee was training for the 84 Olympics, right?
Yeah.
Jackie Joyner and I shared the All-University Athlete Award together. She went on to Olympic stardom.
Yep.
And I went to Adelphi University and I got my master's degree and I coached for the first time. And then I went to medical school at the University of Louisville in Kentucky. And then I went back to Southern California for my 5-year orthopedic residency program. And then I did a 1-year sports medicine fellowship working with the Dodgers, the Lakers, the Sparks, the Mighty Ducks, the Avengers, the Kings with Curlin and Joe, right? And as you know, played for the United States at 17 years of age and traveled all over the world representing our sport and our country in Japan twice, China, Taiwan, New Zealand, Australia 4 times, Venezuela, Puerto Rico, Holland, England, Canada, Argentina, and Italy. Imagine if I listened to the negative things of other people, right? Look at what I would have missed out on. But more importantly, you guys, look what you're going to miss out on.
Yeah.
If you're so negative and listening to all of this stuff, this noise, it's clear that we are all in this together.
Yeah.
Not one greater than anybody else. But isn't it awesome when you have a team together where every member refuses to be the weakest link?
Yes.
Right? And why is that? Like, look at society as in general. Can we not be lifting people up and accepting others, right? We're all in this together. But the point is, when we're together as a team, we're a team. We're family.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Like,
we're all different. We're all different.
Yeah. Well, and something different that you did, which again, I told you, I feel like there were certain things that were just ahead of your time in a way. But I think about, you mentioned that you're a doctor, like you're Dr. Dot, you know, you had that passion and a career and just something kind of outside of softball. And actually, I feel like today more and more, a lot of the professional athletes or elite level athletes are talking about trying to figure out their identity outside of their sport. But you had those dimensions at a time when not a lot of people were really thinking through that as much. But what was it about medicine in particular that made you say, okay, yeah, I want to pursue this the way that I've pursued softball?
Well, I love people. I love to try and help people. I love solving problems, right? I just do. If someone says you can't do this, I'm like, okay, watch, we're going to do it, right? And I love anatomy. I love physiology. And I just thought with, you know, being a physician, I'm going to be able to help others in times of need, of pain, right, of suffering, of not feeling well, you know. And as an orthopedist, you have the medicine side of things, the non-surgical side, and you have the surgical side. Yeah. I knew I had good eye-hand coordination and focus, and that's what sport teaches us, really, to be able to zoom in, as I said. Mm-hmm. You know, I think those that are at the top of their profession are able to zoom in to their goals, right? To zoom in to the task at hand. there'd be surgeries that I'm in, and I know I have a plane that I have to catch in a couple hours. Doesn't matter. I'm in the surgery. I know I have to treat the last patient that I've seen after 38 hours of no sleep in my residency, the same as the first one I saw that morning when I had a lot of rest. Right. Those you learn from sport, right?
Yep.
But you also learn it's about people, right? What can I do to help, right? And that's where the servant heart, imagine if we all, you know, Jesus came down and served, you know, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings didn't come down for people to be worshiping him and serving him. He came down to show us how to serve each other, you know? And that to me is like really the key. And for medicine, I thought that would be my career. And it was. And then all of a sudden, quickly, I became an executive of a hospital, South Lake Hospital in Claremont, Florida. And I ran a national training center, a 300-acre sports health and education campus. So now I know I'm going to retire there. But instead, what happens? A change in my job. I was like, okay, Lord, where are you going to leave me now? And I get asked to run for mayor. And I got asked a week later to run for county commissioner. And my husband and I were like, county commissioner sounds good. And a not-for-profit, going to run this softball venue. And this is where the Lord's leading me. And so I told the group who had approached me to run for county commissioner that if I liked politics, they'd like to support me to run for U.S. Senate for the state of Florida. So I knew that the Lord wanted me in politics, right?
Yeah.
So everything was going down that road. And so I gave it to the Lord in prayer. Never forget it. Never forget the prayer. Heavenly Father, how can I serve you more? Whatever it is, I'm all in. But I'm praying to you just like you say to pray, make it perfectly clear where you want me to serve you. And the next morning, I get a call from the athletic director from the largest Christian university in the world, Liberty University, out of Lynchburg, Virginia, and said the previous softball coach is retired and we'd like for you to consider being the head coach. And at the end of our conversation, I said, sir, you may not realize this. I have never head coached in college before. And he said, we realize that, but we feel the Lord is bringing us to you. So I went to my husband, Bob, and he was like, this is a God thing and we got to do it. Yeah. So I'm telling you, it's awesome. I'm where the Lord wants me to be. And I can share my faith openly. And our biggest thing is training champions for Christ. And through this is my calling, my ministry right here, to be able to use softball and the history and the knowledge, the strategy to help impact these young girls that we are not only on the team, but who we play against and opponents and our game in general, to let them know the sport doesn't define you.
Right.
If you think that this sport defines you, you're going to be disappointed. You are definitely going to be at a point where you're going to feel empty. And it could get to a point of the extreme where you don't think life is worth living because maybe you're not playing it the way you think you should or you did last year or last week. That is not good. You are defined by a God that loves you. A God that gave himself up for you to cover all of our mistakes, right? All of our sins. And he's calling you. And when you find that, it's not, the game is going to be played with so much more joy and passion because it doesn't matter if you strike out or you hit a home run.
Yeah.
Right? It doesn't.
Yeah.
Because you had the opportunity to just do it and glorify him. In a way. And I got to add this. I have to say this. It is so easy to win. Right, Jenna? Like you win. There are some poor winners. You know what I mean?
But sure. Sure.
It's easy when you win. But how are you when you lose?
Yeah.
And you're in defeat. That's your true character.
Yeah.
Your true character. And I had to learn that at a young age. Right? And you know what I learned? And I'm going to give this quick story, right? Do I have time,
Jenna? Yeah, of course.
I'm at shortstop. I'm 15 years of age. Bases are loaded. Tie ball game. Ground balls hit to me like a million have. And I bobbled it. And I threw the ball to first too late. And we lost the game. And I'm in the car. You know, there's no crying in softball, right? I lost the game in my mind. And I get in the car and I'm driving my mom and dad, you know, my dad's driving, they're driving me home and I'm bawling. And dad pulled the car over to the side of the road, put it in park, and he looked back and he said, "What are you crying for? Dad, you were there. I mean, all I had to do was fill the ball and we would have still been playing and I lost the game." He goes, "Listen, you either do it or you don't. And tonight you just didn't do it. Turn back around, put it in drive, and we drove. And here's the difference." I thought to myself, he's right. I can't cry over spilled milk. I can't bring it back.
Right.
But what am I going to do from here on out? You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to keep working, and I'm going to put myself in those situations where it's never going to happen again. And it will, you know, because we all make mistakes, right? We're all sinners and fall short of the glory of God. But the point is this. I got better. Fewer mistakes. Fewer miscues. But it took somebody to tell me it's okay to fail. You just didn't do it. But learn from it and don't let it happen again. Right?
Yep.
Are we holding each other accountable enough to do that?
Right.
I don't see that with this younger generation very much. You know why? They want to be liked so much. Mm. They don't want to let their team down. They think of all these, like, I've asked every team I've had because I know that's an excuse. I don't want to let the team down. I said, "Team, how will your teammate let you down?" And guess what they say? You guess. What do you think?
It's probably not about anything really on the field, more so they either don't let each other down really, or only if they don't trust each other or treat each other well. But I doubt it's anything softball related.
Right. They'll say, if you don't give your best, you try. If you don't try, if you don't work hard, if you,
right.
If purposely you're doing something vindictively, right?
Right.
But it's like you said, it's not like, oh, because you didn't get a hit.
Right.
Right. Like you're right. You're right on it. But those other things you can control. You hear it all the time, your attitude, your effort, right? But you have the power to decide, what kind of person do you want to be? What kind of impact do you want to make in the world?
Yep.
Whether your world is surrounded by your younger brother and sister, right? Or whether it's a high school team or in your high school, whatever, it's a business that you're doing, what impact do you want to make? And I tell you, if your focus is not on money, if it's not on you succeeding so much that you're going to demean other people or do it the wrong way, if you do it the right way, it's all going to take care of itself. Yeah. And you're going to have so much joy and riches within yourself that it's not even going to matter, you know, the accolades that you might get, because your memories and your moments are much bigger than that.
Well, the accolades come, to your point, it's like that stuff falls into place when you take care of this really more important stuff first. And I have seen that unfold during your time coaching at Liberty, too. Like, you're going on 10 years as a head coach, which is pretty wild to think about.
And, I know. Crazy, right?
Yeah. And I actually saw you doing an in-game interview when I was watching regionals this past spring, and I did have a thought when I saw you on TV where I was like, man, how cool is this? Like, how far we've come as a sport just because of where you started, for example, and you're still giving back to the sport and paying it forward in different ways. And just how connected that all was very, just a cool moment to me in general. But then to see just how, you know, like you said, it's not really about the accolades, but those things do come, you know, like you guys have had, you've basically improved your record pretty much every year, right? Since you've been there, you had, what was it? I think five straight outside of COVID year, 40 plus win seasons, back-to-back conference champions. Like, those things come together. You've even broken into the national rankings. So my question to you would be, and you've hit on it, I think, in terms of focusing on the people part, but how? Because to me, and I think you know this, right? Not every all-time player can be an all-time coach. So it's like, how do you translate that kind of servant leadership as a player into truly being a coach with your new team?
Well, it begins by realizing my competitive days are in the past, right? And putting aside your pride, isn't that hard, right?
Yeah.
I don't like selfishness at all, right? I think that that is a root of a lot of, you know, poor choices, you know, yeah. evil in the world. But I tell you, it really comes to caring about others and recognizing that all of your experiences have been put together for you to help others who might be going through those experiences, right? Or to, you know, make a difference in their lives. There are certain things I can't relate to, but there's others that I can relate to. But it really comes to, do you have an eye for recognizing what others might need in order to help them reach their full potential? And I enjoy doing that, right? I will look and I'll see a player and I realize she'll never reach her full potential, maybe because of these mechanical things, right? Fundamentals. But then you realize this kid is fundamentally sound, but why is she not performing, right? Mm-hmm. So a lot of the mindset, right? It might be, have you ever seen an athlete that will play great and then all of a sudden her parents show up and she doesn't play well?
Yes.
Are you really in tune with those things, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you realize why. Well, she wants to please them so much, or there's this pressure. And so how do you get someone to embrace that pressure shouldn't be like stress, right? Like pressure is a privilege,
right?
To be able to have the chance, right? I don't know. I think that's it. And the other is, I'm being like, you got to surround yourself with people who compliment you. Like even as an athlete, you guys, let's be real. We look at what we're good at and we don't want to look at what we're bad at. Right?
Yeah.
But we have to recognize our weaknesses, even as people. Like I don't dive in, you know, to personal relationships very deeply. I know that about myself, but I have an assistant coach that she totally understands what people are feeling.
Yeah.
Because I'm on the Enneagram of 7, for anyone who knows the Enneagram personality, and I'm all about enthusiasm and energy and inspiration and vision and let's go, let's do it. Why be sad? You know, why look at negativity? I hate negativity, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But some people need to feel. They want to feel those things. And I have to look at my weaknesses and say, how do I get better?
Yeah.
How can I improve? What do my players need from me? Right? And they need honesty, consistency, and they need to know I believe in them no matter what, whether they're a starter or not, right? And that I am going to be as fair as possible. Now, we know that life isn't fair. And right. Why do we know that, softball players? Because we have umpires, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Umpires are human too. But the point is that not everything's not going to go easy for us. We're going to have trials and tribulations in our lives. It's going to be tough. And I need to equip all of these young women the Lord brings to me to be ready for the world.
Mm-hmm.
And this sport is giving us an avenue to do that. And that's a blessing.
Yeah. A lot of what you have said, whether it was as an athlete, as a coach, as a doctor, there's this element of self-awareness, but deeper than that, it's the vulnerability to really look at yourself, I guess. Like if you want to keep growing and getting better, to your point, you have to kind of be honest with yourself about where you're at and also thinking about others at the same time. And that seems to be a bit of a common thread just between all of your experiences. as to what that, in addition to just that belief you've talked about, has put you in a position where you can seize opportunities.
Well, I always knew, like, when you had a surgical attending looking over you as a resident, you know, one that really knew what they were doing, right?
Yeah.
They weren't micromanaging, you know? But those that were not as sure of themselves were like, okay, wait, what are you doing? What are you doing? You know?
Yeah.
And I think that comes with leadership in business and sport and life. You know, are you micromanaging? I tell my assistants, I'm not going to micromanage you because I believe I've hired the right person to do the job. And if you don't do the job well, then we'll have to talk about another direction, right?
Right.
And that's the same with players. Like, you have the power to either receive what we're going to give you to help you reach your full potential. And freshmen are funny because you could see them for a month or two and they will not change. Right. And then eventually it's like, and my coach is like, she's not listening. Well, she's making her choices because we know what's going to happen if she doesn't make this change. And what's going to happen is failure. She won't be as successful as she could be. And then sometimes they just have to learn.
Yeah.
Right. And they just have to experience it. We saw it in our regional play last year. Like, we had the ability to go on to supers. And it was one of those things, as hard as it was, and as much as we tried to prepare them, they wanted it so badly. You can't want something so badly you'll compromise who you are as an individual, your morals, what you stand for, your standard of behavior.
Yeah.
Right? You can't want that love so bad that you're going to compromise that. Right? That it's like you got to slow the game down and you have to, you have to let it come to you a lot of times instead of trying to go get it and trying to go get it. But you also, there's a balance. You've got to want it enough that you're willing to receive it, right? To hunt for it. So I don't know. It's a lot of self-awareness, as you talked about, but it's also one of those things you realize, wait a minute, I did this wrong and didn't get the results that I was hoping for.
Yeah.
Are you willing to say you screwed up? And I've screwed up in my life.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a sinner. And as long as I've learned and I've turned 180 degrees, repent from it, right? And I tell my kids all the time, I'm going to let you down, but I don't mean to.
Yeah.
I love you no matter what, whether you're starting or not starting.
Yeah.
I care for you. Let's have a relationship we can be honest about. If something ever happens to you, I promise you, you will not never shock me. I've heard it all. I've been around. We can handle it. We will fix it as best we can. I'll hold you accountable, but we're in this together.
Yeah. When you're talking about not compromising your core beliefs and things, that brings me back to when you were like, no, I'm not going to pretend to be a boy. That's not me, you know? And that was decades ago when this whole journey started. And now that same principle is guiding you today, which is really cool to see.
None of us have to hide who we are.
Yeah.
Right? None of us. We all are going to have our opportunities and we just need to be ready for them. That very day when I was asked to play for the Union Park Jets softball, I wondered why my friend Sunday Brown, who I was playing baseball catch with, when that softball coach saw me, why wasn't she asked to try out? She was very good. The next day when Title IX came into effect in our neighborhood of Union Park, Sunday Brown became the first girl to play Little League Baseball.
Wow.
See, God has a plan for us, right? For each of us. Sunday Brown ended up becoming a police officer. You know, she just track star. I mean, the thing is, we think we have a plan for our lives, but the reality is if we just give it to the Lord, we realize His is much better. There've been lots of moments in my life of disappointment. But I look at it as opportunities of growth, right?
Yeah.
I let myself down or I let others down. But we're human. And the beauty is there's forgiveness and grace. And let's think about that with each other. Shouldn't we?
Yeah. Well, something that I've taken away from our conversation today is something you said earlier, which is this respect and acknowledgement of the past, of our sport and in general, but also this excitement, inspiration, willingness to keep pushing forward into the future. And it's this balance of those two things, because one of the goals that I had too from this was a little bit of a history lesson really, for some people to understand the true roots of the game. And even you referencing, to me, I'm like, okay, my generation watched a lot of Jenny Finch, who watched a lot of Lisa Fernandez, who watched a lot of you. And then you're talking about Joan Joyce and these people that you watched, right? And it's understanding that chain and that path that even got us here in the first place, not because we're satisfied, but because we can understand the true impact of it and how we can continue that for ourselves, but for all of those people as well. And I feel like that has been one of the many amazing things from our conversation today that has resonated a lot with me.
Well, I appreciate you having me on, because that's what it's about, right?
Yeah.
Don't forget our history. Yeah. Live in the moment and be prepared to make an impact for the future.
Yeah. That's incredible. Well, before I do let you go, I play a little game with everybody who comes on the show to wrap things up. It is called Safer Out. And so basically you'll be the umpire, right? So basically I'll bring something up. If you like it or you agree with it, you call it safe. If you don't like it and you don't agree with it, you call it out.
Okay.
All right. Makes sense? Okay. So you've been a player, you've been a coach, you've been a doctor. Now you're an umpire right now. So the first one is the white softballs, playing with white softballs versus what we see today with the bright colored balls. Safe or out?
White softball out. I wish I could have played with a yellow ball with the red seams and these unbelievable composite bats.
Right? Yeah, well, the bats too. Yeah, that's a whole other ball game as well. Yes. I would say I agree, but I will say safe on the white ball that you signed for me specifically.
And you talk about history. I had a white softball back in the day when my head coach, Marge Ricker for the Orlando Rebels, introduced me to Bertha Tickey, who gave me a signed softball. Bertha Tickey was before Joan Joyce, you guys. Yeah. Unbelievable. Okay, keep going.
That is awesome. That is awesome. Okay, so first one's out. Second one is, if they do, people calling you Dorothy instead of Dot. Safe or out?
That's a tough one. That's safe. I think it's safe, but it will definitely, I'll take a double take.
Does anyone close to you or anyone that you know actually call you Dorothy?
Yes. Very close to me is my family. That's what they all do. My husband, Dorothy, and for fun, my assistant coaches either call him Coachy or they'll say Dorothy at times. So not players.
That's funny. Has anyone ever called you Dottie?
Dottie Sheeran Backus.
Okay.
Let's see. Kirk Walker says Dottie. There are a few. Kelly, in a way, will say Dottie. So there are a few, but usually on the West Coast.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So it's regional. Got it. Yes. Okay. All right. So that was the second one. Next one is name, image, likeness, or NIL. Safe or out?
That's a tough one. I think we'll have to go extra innings on this one. There's a part of me that says safe, and there's another part of me that says out, and this is why. We have some young kids, right? And I'm talking male, female, right?
Yep.
They're at an impressionable age where money seems to be everything. Hmm. And once when the love of money is the root of all evil, right? I think that there has to be a balance between calling an amateur athlete versus a professional athlete. And on the record, I want to let you know that I voted for the Olympics to keep amateur athletes playing. And I was in the minority of that vote. And I think you can, I just think you talk about fairness for NIL when a majority of sports are equivalent sports and not headcount sports. So if you want fairness, then every scholarship should be a headcount full ride if you're opening up the door to get all these other sponsorships. But I do love the fact that it's available. I just am surprised at how it's being misused for recruiting.
I think like anything else, there's kind of a right way and a wrong way to do things.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it, you know?
Yeah, and we're probably still figuring out exactly where that line is, obviously, but yeah, that's fair. Okay, last one is bat flips, safe or out.
Bat flips.
No, not backflip. Oh, we're not gymnastics. Bat flips.
Like, whoa. These are like, I don't know how umpires do it. So I love it.
Right?
Because I see a danger in some of the flips, but I love to see some of the flips. So yeah. I would say safe.
Okay.
If it's a flip that is not some of these flips, you can hit your teammate, injure them. Umpires, catchers, but it's amazing. You know, I think that fans love to see the home run. And then when you see it, you know, a little toss is kind of fun to see.
Yeah.
But some of these are pretty crazy and it's dangerous. So
that's true.
The doctor in me would have to say out for those, but safe for the classy ones.
That's true. Okay. This is the first time we've had the doctor's perspective. So that is definitely interesting. Would you have considered doing a bat flip for that gold medal game-winning home run?
No, I'm not that type personality, no.
You just watch it. You wouldn't
partake. I think there's a part of enjoyment and everything, but there's also a little fun in seeing, you know, I call it humility or a quiet thunder, you know, where your actions speak a little louder. I think that Jocelyn had a fun year. I thought she handled it, you know, with humility, but also signs of passion and greatness. You know, that was fun to watch. But I've seen some backflips that almost hit teammates in the on deck circle. I was like, okay. But again, I'm not a home run hitter, you guys. So I'm a table setter. And to hit the home runs was just a matter of, it's just living the dream of just, I don't know, I was swinging out of my shoes or what. The adrenaline was in high gear.
Yeah. As it should be. And it seems like that's how you roll. So.
And I think that's why the big hitters are like, I shouldn't be able to vote on that.
Yeah. That's true. I will say too, I don't think the UCLA guests that I've had some people may have said safe in the way that you have, where it's like, oh, well, it's entertaining to watch, but I don't think anyone has ever said, oh yeah, like I would bat flip. It doesn't seem to be a part of the DNA.
Yeah, here's one thing, and not to sound you know, too crazy, I hope it comes across right, but you'll notice that athletes, no matter what sport, that are great, they don't need to say they're great.
True.
You know, a lot of other people recognize that. There has been an exception, as you probably know, but when it comes to boxing, you know, Muhammad Ali, that's all about a lot of show too, though, right?
Yeah, yeah.
you're going to find that one of the greatest compliments I think I could ever have is if I have teammates or opponents say that because you're on the field, I played better.
Mm. Wow. Yeah. Quiet thunder too. I really love that phrasing of it.
Talk is cheap, right?
Yeah. That's awesome. Well, thank you so much again, Dr. Dot. This was amazing. And like I said, to celebrate the 100th episode, you really were on the top of a very short list of people where it just felt right to have that kind of representation. And I really, really appreciate it. for what you've done and for what you continue to do also for the sport and just for women in general.
Well, again, I appreciate you and the opportunity. That's what it comes down to, right?
Another opportunity. Yeah.
Opportunities. And thank you so much. I love what you're doing. And to be able to share about the sport and dive back into the past a little bit, it's been a lot of fun. I hope everyone listening too is just looking at their own life and realizing how special it is to just to be able to have a life that you can do a lot with and make a big impact in positive ways to others.
Yeah. Well, thank you for being that example.
Thank you so much. It's been a blessing.
Dot Richardson is just a straight up legend, and getting to talk to her in general, but then obviously, especially in this forum, was educational and inspiring to me. So I hope you feel the same way. And just what a way to celebrate episode 100. And with that, let's transition to the foul tip of the week. This week's foul tip is about faith. Dot talked about her faith a lot in the context of her religious beliefs, but also with softball, and that it's what drives her, it's what gets her up in the morning, and it helps keep her going. And it just got me thinking about how the concept of faith can be applied in so many different contexts. Because at its core, it's defined as complete trust or confidence in someone or something. So what struck me when she told stories of how she accomplished basically everything that she's accomplished is that at the end of the day, what got her through it and got her to it is ultimately faith in herself and faith in the people around her. From playing on her first team as a kid to the comeback in the 2000 Olympics in Sydney, there wasn't a blueprint for her to follow. She had to have faith in her own abilities, like she talked about, faith in her teammates and faith that hard work and integrity are going to help you get there in the end. And it's easier said than done to be able to do that. We talk a lot about the fact that belief is a prerequisite to accomplish anything. And that is especially true when you're the one breaking down barriers and the first to do something, like she has been so many times. That's why it makes sense she's number one, like we said. But even after we stopped the recording, actually, we kept chatting for a little bit. And when I told her how I was looking forward to watching Liberty in the 2023 season, she actually gave me a sneak peek at their schedule. It's going to be awesome. But also how she just has purposefully lined up a really challenging one, playing some of the top competition in college softball, including the Puerto Vallarta preseason tournament that was actually just released. And it was her reasoning behind that that really stood out, because there's only a handful of programs that have that many 40 plus win seasons like they do. But she said, you know, it's not about winning 40 games. It's about winning the last game. And the way to do that is challenging the team to face the best. That's only going to make them better and more ready. And she has faith in them to do that. Because like she said, the best coaches are able to kind of sit back and watch their players and their staff. And that takes trust, though. And it takes faith, not just her having faith in them, but also cultivating their faith in her. Because that's when the magic happens. So that's it. Have faith. That's the foul tip of the week. You've been listening to Believe in Softball, part of the Believe Network, presented by Bet Online. The show is available anywhere you get your podcasts, wherever you listen, including Believe.com. And you can watch the videos on YouTube too. Subscribe, rate, and if you liked it, write a review for the show. Help us out. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Believe in Softball. Again, that's B-L-E-A-V. You can always reach out to me on Twitter at JennaBecerra01 and Instagram at JennaBecerra as well. As always, thank you for tuning in, especially for number 100, and we'll catch you soon.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Spectrum Business knows small business owners have to do it all. Get Spectrum One for Business. Just $49.99 a month for internet, advanced Wi-Fi with security shield, and a free mobile line for a year. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.